Good day out there, everybody. Pleasant good day to everybody listening in, wherever and whenever you may be listening, wherever you may be listening from. This is John Chomo with the podcast Then and Now. This is Season 2, Episode 3. We've got some news going on about Tesla. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Also, our NCAA March Madness contest is upon us. We'll let you know how to register for that and get ready to roll when they announce the brackets on Sunday. And we'll talk a little bit about baseball, as baseball season is just about upon us as well. Also, we'll answer the one left over three good questions question from last week. We do need more questions, so send in your questions to us. And questions about anything to our three good questions segment. The email address is threegoodquestions@gmail.com. It's on the logo for the podcast too. So hit us up with a question. We love to get questions from the audience and we'll try to answer them to the best of our ability. We'll start this week, as we always do, with facts and birthdays from the week of March 12th through 18th, as we record on March 11th here on Tuesday morning. So let's get started with that. Let's first hit March 12th. On March 12th, 1933, President Franklin Roosevelt, who had been president for all of 8 days, gave his first radio address to the nation. They became known as fireside chats because of his very keen ability to communicate on a level on which his audience could understand him. It was like he was talking to you in your living room by the fireplace, not addressing you from a podium, let's say. His first fireside chat was about the banking system, which was obviously very timely in March of 1933. He had just been sworn in during the depths of the Great Depression. Birthdays on March 12th include the one-time Republican nominee for president, recently retired U.S. Senator from Utah, Mitt Romney, who will be 78 years old on March 12th. He looks much, much younger than that, by the way. James Taylor, one of my favorites. I've seen James Taylor in concert more than any other performer. James Taylor will be 76 on March 12th, and CNN's Jake Tapper will be 56. March 13th marks a really awkward anniversary, I think, for most of us. It was March 13th, 2020, that the world started to kind of shut down due to the COVID pandemic. That was Friday, March 13th, 2020. That was the last day that we were in school at Talmadge High School and at a lot of other places, I'm sure, for the rest of that school year. We shut it down and went home and we're trying to figure out how to get people involved in Zoom education, if you will. Just a very, very awkward and frightening time. Birthdays on Birthdays on March 13th, Jack Harlow will be 27, and Coco Gauff, the great tennis player, will be 21. 21 is all. Wow. Moving to March 14th, we have three birthdays of note. Albert Einstein, born March 14th, 1879. Stephen Curry, who was recently named like the manager or program director of the Davidson men's and women's basketball programs, his alma mater. He's still playing for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, born in Akron, Ohio. March 14th is his 37th birthday. And Simone Biles, one of the world's greatest athletes, Olympic gold medalist, proud USA member of the Olympic team. Simone Biles will be 28. March 15th. Known as the Ides of March. That's because Julius Caesar was assassinated in Rome on March 15th, 44 BC. Beware the Ides of March, as they say. Perhaps the greatest American movie ever made, The Godfather, I'd probably vote for it, premiered in theaters on March 15th, 1972. A classic by any stretch. Birthdays on March 15th include the 7th President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, born on March 15th, 1767. The late, great Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, born on March 15th, 1933. Her death in September of 2020 was really a low point for a lot of us, just really sad. Mike Love of the Beach Boys will be 84 on March 15th. And Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, currently looking for his new quarterback after Justin Fields fled to the New York Jets yesterday. Mike Tomlin will be 53. I think it's a big year for Mike Tomlin, actually. I think the heat is on. He makes the playoffs every year. He's been one of the great coaches in NFL history, but they have lost the first playoff game now several years in a row, and the folks over in Pittsburgh are getting restless about that. So I think it's kind of a big year for Mike Tomlin. We'll see who he comes up with to lead the offense in Pittsburgh this year. Moving to March 16th, Congress authorized a military academy to be created at West Point, New York, on March 16th, 1802. That was the start of West Point, the United States Military Academy. Birthdays on March 16th. Our fourth president, James Madison, born in Central Virginia on March 16th, 1751. He died at his home there in 1836. Ozzie Newsome, the great Browns tight end, the Hall of Famer, who has been an equally, unfortunately for Cleveland fans, successful, now retired, but a successful front office man, general manager for the Baltimore Ravens. Ozzie Newsome will be 69, a tremendous player in his day. And Flavor Flav will be 66, by the way. Moving to March 17th, St. Patrick died on March 17th, 461. Hence, St. Patrick's Day is March 17th. Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt were married on March 17th, 1905. Birthdays on March 17th include the man who was voted the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century, the great Bobby Jones, creator of the Masters Golf Tournament, winner of the Grand Slam of Golf in 1930. Nobody's done it since. Bobby Jones, born March 17th, 1902. Danny Ainge, former Boston Celtics great, played in the major leagues as well with the Toronto Blue Jays. Danny Ainge, 66 on March 17th. Rob Lowe, the actor, will be 61 on March 17th. And Mia Hamm, one of the great soccer players of all time. Mia Hamm will be 53. Finally, March 18th, just a couple of things there. Grover Cleveland, the 22nd and 24th presidents of the United States. Grover Cleveland, born March 18th, 1837. No, he wasn't from Cleveland. He's from Buffalo. He died in 1908. And Queen Latifah will be 55 on March 18th. The multi-talented Queen Latifah, that is. Okay, that's our birthdays and anniversaries segment for this week. I'm mulling where to start here on our topics. I got three topics ready for us. I'll do the current events news topic first. We're going to look at Tesla and President Musk, if you will. Tesla stock on January 20th, the date of the inauguration of the president, was $426.50 a share. Sunday night, this past Sunday night, it was $262.67 a share. Tuesday morning, this morning, as we record, it opens at $222 a share. It has lost almost 50% of its value. Musk lost $22.8 billion of his personal wealth on Monday, March 10th. X was down, formerly known as Twitter, was down most of Monday. A group called Dark Storm Team claimed responsibility for the outages. They are a heavily pro-Palestinian group that targets state organizations that support Israel. Did some reading about that here recently. I don't know, you know, where it's going here, obviously. You can't predict that. His personal wealth, President Musk's personal wealth, has tanked by over $100 billion in the last 2 months since Trump was inaugurated president and Musk was made acting president, if you will. He seems to be doing all the work. It's really tanking fast in Europe. Tesla, particularly, is really tanking fast in Europe. Sales there have dropped 45%. A similar trend is happening here in the United States, although I don't think it's up to that level. Maybe, you know, having SpaceX rockets exploding over the East Coast of Florida every other time he launches one, maybe that's not good for business. The latest one last week, affected over 200 passenger flights off of Florida. Over 200 passenger plane flights had to be rerouted because of the debris from his SpaceX rocket exploding soon after launch last week. If Tesla, for instance, drops under $100 a share, and I've been reading about this a little bit last night and this morning, what would it take for them to do a margin call? In other words, a margin call would be to call in all the loans on the stock, and that would potentially ruin him financially. If Tesla stock were to drop on around around $100 a share, if it drops under $100 a share, then there would likely be a margin call on the stock, which could bring it down completely and, you know, financially ruin him. I have no prediction. I am not one of those people. But the trend is not good. Again, it was $426.50 a share less than 2 months ago, and it's down to $222, almost a 50% drop. Again, he lost almost $23 billion of his personal worth in one day yesterday as we record this. Something to keep your eyes on, I would say. I don't know how all this connects and how all this is going to, if it's going to continue or at all. I don't think there's been any problem this morning with X being down, for instance. But it's not a great situation for the guy I call President Musk. Okay. On to more fun things. It's not fun for me to talk about all that stuff, but it certainly is important as things go here in the United States these days. All right, our March Madness contest is upon us here. It is just days away from Selection Sunday now. Selection Sunday will be this coming Sunday, March 16th. This will be our last regular podcast before Selection Sunday. So if you want to join in the fun, here's all the info. Go to ESPN.com, hit Fantasy up above there, and then you'll see entries for Men's Tournament Challenge and Women's Tournament Challenge. Click one or both, you know, depending on if you want to get in both of them. I certainly would encourage you to do that, to sign up. Once you get there, you can sign up, hit groups, and look for our groups. Our groups are called Then and Now Men's Hoops and Then and Now Women's Hoops. Look for our groups. Our password is the number 3, not our email address, which is spelled out 3. The number 3 good questions, no spaces, no capital letters. 3 good questions. That's the password to join our March Madness contest. I'm looking forward to that. It was fun to do last year. Hopefully we'll get more participants this year, and it'll be a blast. Remember, it's coming. We're here. This is conference tournament week, and Selection Sunday for both tournaments is this Sunday. Good luck to the Akron Zips men's team, MAC regular season champs. For the second year in a row, they will be the number 1 seed up at Rocket Arena in Cleveland. In the MAC tournament, they will play Thursday, Friday, and hopefully Saturday, all 3 days. The tournament will be those 3 days. Hopefully the Zips are participants all 3 days. Go Zips. Let's win that thing again and get back in the big dance. Looks like Ohio State needs 2 wins in the Big Ten tournament to make it. They lost a tough one at Indiana on Sunday. The referees were not helpful, as they usually aren't, unless you're wearing an Indiana Hoosiers jersey in Bloomington. And they certainly did help affect the outcome of their last game. But Ohio State is the 10th seed in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. They will play tomorrow, as we speak here. And if they win, they will have to play again and win against Illinois on Thursday. Looks like they need 2 wins to be considered for the big dance. Don't know if they have it in them or not, really. They are certainly offensively challenged late in games, but we'll see how the Buckeyes fare. Good luck to them. Okay. Again, March Madness, go to ESPN.com, Fantasy, Men's Tournament Challenge, and Women's Tournament Challenge, respectively. Hit our groups, Then and Now Men's Hoops, Then and Now Women's Hoops. Sign up with the password, the number 3 good questions. There you go. There's all the info wrapped up in one little nice package. Okay, issue number 3 here. We are 1 week away, believe it or not, from the start of the Major League Baseball regular season. It'll be two teams starting the season on March 18th and 19th in Tokyo, as the Chicago Cubs and the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers will be flying over there shortly, and they will play two games in Tokyo, March 18th and 19th. That's next Tuesday and Wednesday. All other teams will open on Thursday, March 27th, so they have 2.5 weeks left, really, almost, you know, a little more than 2 weeks left before they will start playing for good. If you're a fan of baseball, you probably know, don't get too excited about wins and losses in spring training. They're trying stuff. They're trying to see if guys can make the team. They're giving guys days off. I watched the Pirates a little bit last night. Some of the regulars played four innings and then, you know, went off to dinner or whatever. That's how it goes. So they're not necessarily playing these games to win or lose them yet in spring training. Don't freak out if your team's not doing well in the win-loss column in Florida or Arizona, okay? Just a tip for you there. The Guardians will open the regular season March 27th at Kansas City, a big divisional matchup there, while the Pirates open in Miami against the Marlins for the second straight year. And hopefully they'll trade their starting pitcher, Sandy Alcantara, maybe to the Yankees before March 27th. That's who the Pirates would see opening day, and he's pretty tough. The Marlins are not a very good team, but they are when he's on the mound. So hopefully he gets traded before March 27th. Two major league franchises. This is kind of hard to believe. In an industry that's worth so much money, two MLB franchises will be playing in minor league ballparks all season this season. The Athletics, who left Oakland kind of unceremoniously at the end of last season, will play for at least the next two seasons in the Sacramento Bees minor league park in Sacramento, California, while the Tampa Bay Rays will use the Yankees spring training site Steinbrenner Field for their home games, at least this year. Why? Because the dome in St. Petersburg was ripped off, the top of it was ripped off by the hurricane that hit in October, and they have no idea whether that's going to be rebuilt or torn down or whatever the case may be. So the Rays are going to be, they're going to refurbish and hide all the Yankees logos, I guess. I was reading about it yesterday, and play their regular season games outdoors in St. Petersburg at Steinbrenner Field. Weather will become a factor there during the heat of the summertime. It rains every afternoon almost there, and that's why they built a dome, which doesn't exist anymore. So we'll see how everything gets affected there. I'm not sure that's going to go really well for anybody, but that's if your team plays the Tampa Bay Rays on the road, that's where they're going to play them, in a minor league ballpark. The Yankees, by the way, speaking of them, they've got some injury problems, serious injury problems. They may not have Giancarlo Stanton. He has serious injuries, as he puts it, to both elbows, which may require surgery. If he has surgery, he'll be gone for the entire season. And it was disclosed yesterday, as we record, that Yankees ace starting pitcher Gerrit Cole will need Tommy John surgery today and will miss all of this season and the start of the 2026 season. He's 35 years old. He's been a great player. He started out with the Pirates. He's had a terrific career, upstanding guy, you know, nothing but respect for him. But we'll see if he can come back from that. He could, but he'll be 36 middle of next season when he's able to pitch again. Stanton was the Yankees' best postseason hitter last year, in case you're wondering. He was the guy, really. He hit a bomb against Cleveland that won a game in the playoffs. He was their best bat in the postseason run that the Yankees had to the World Series last year. Also, for them, promising starting pitcher Luis Gil will miss 3 months with a right lat strain, so he will not be in their rotation until July, possibly. They did pick up Max Fried, the good left-handed pitcher from Atlanta. They have Carlos Rodon, another lefty, in the rotation. Marcus Stroman will probably be their third starting pitcher. That's not a bad 1-2-3 for the Yankees, but boy, it's not what it looked like 2 weeks ago, let's say. They'll miss Gerrit Cole a lot. The other baseball issue that I wanted to mention here briefly is the ball strike challenge system. They're using it in spring training this year in certain spring training ballparks, and I've watched parts of a few games, and it seems to work very well in spring training, as I've seen it, the umpires are right most of the time. Some of those pitch calls are so close. I saw one the other day that was less than 0.1 inch. The ball was in the strike zone. The umpire called it a strike. The batter challenged, tapped his helmet, challenged the call, and the pitch on the screen had less than 0.1 inch of the ball in the strike zone. Any part of the ball, any part of the plate is a strike, so the umpire's strike call was upheld. That gives you an idea of how tough that job is, calling balls and strikes in the major leagues particularly, where the balls are coming at all angles and 90-some miles an hour in most cases. But the umpires that I have seen have been right most of the time. That will not be used in the regular season, by the way, this year. They are not going to use the automated ball strike system this year in the big leagues. Next year, well, that may be a different story, but this year they're not going to use it. Okay, our three good questions segment has only one question this week. So if you have a good question, we'd love to hear from you. We like feedback from the audience. It's tremendous. Email us at the word spelled out, three good questions, T-H-R-E-E, good questions, at gmail.com, and hit us up with a good question. We'll get it on the air. From last week, here is our question from Jeff. There are 8 Power Four conference schools, that's the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC, that play their home football games at a place called Memorial Stadium. 8 of those conferences' teams play their games in Memorial Stadium. Can you name them? Here are the names in no particular order. Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, Clemson, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas. Those are the 8 Power Four schools that play their home football games at a place called Memorial Stadium. In Texas's case, it's Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium. You know, in some of the, it's Faro Field at Memorial Stadium in Missouri. But they all play in a place called Memorial Stadium. Again, we've exhausted our questions now that we had. We had kind of a backup there. They come and go. So hit us up with a good question at threegoodquestions@gmail.com, and we'll get it on the air. We'd love to hear from you. All right, that should do it for this week. A busy schedule. There's a lot going on. We got our eyeballs on Tesla here and see how it does. The reason Tesla is so important, by the way, you know, I'm not going to buy one. You probably aren't going to buy one. But Elon Musk has most of his personal wealth tied up in that. So if that collapses, he will no longer be the world's richest man. And I don't know, you know, what happens to everything else he owns. But maybe he's not the financial genius that a certain president thinks he is. Anyway, that's why Tesla is so important to watch. We'll watch it and other things, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Spotify. I'm John Shomo. This is Then and Now. Take care of yourselves and have a great week, everybody.